These will watch ours, today's PG only, occasionally. When they do go to movies, be Christian to go to movies close by.
Hey,
it's drive out of town, so it won't be a couple of miles to read. Bees go swimming on Sabbath, A's only way up to their knees. A's don't buy anything on Sabbath, B's think it's okay to use a credit card. B's wear jewelry, earrings and such. A's take the same earrings and jewelry and fit into their pockets as well. A's always put the Bible on top of a stack of books. B's aren't sure where their Bible is. A's don't think he thinks. B's like a living with a bunch of Bible. B's play cards with regular cards. A's stay up until 3 in the morning, but they play poker. B's buy lottery tickets. A's send them sweepstakes. B's no line dancing. A's call it line checking. B's get the scores on the sports page on Saturday morning. A's won't do that, but they hope that when the radio comes on, it comes on at just the right time when the scores are set. A's break by the side of the bed. B's stay up for the cars. B's get mad that short words slipped out. A's get mad and think it, but she'll get back. A's get involved in church. B's in the pew. A's goes to Sabbath school. B's just comes to church. A's say amen. B's just keep looking at their watches. A's collect money to the pastors for annual vacations to provide lands. B's think pastors only work a half hour a week. They don't need it. We might get 30 minutes to 55 minutes. We're going to conclude Romans today, and I do want to have fun. I do want to have fun with it. But it is serious. In concluding in Romans, and I'm going to try to tackle Romans 14:15, because Romans 14:15 actually should be one chapter. They should go completely together. This is how Paul is going to sign off to the church in Rome, with 60 being actually talking to the individual, saying, God bless you, and so forth and so on, and say hi to people. But this case, in this way, he concludes in chapter 14 and 15 on how these people of faith are now to get along. Because we left off in a place where we're told that we're all going to be in one place, and we should be held to one standard. One standard. And 14 and 15 is kind of an indication of what these people of one standard are going to look like. What will this look like from day to day? So you need lots of context. We've now been in Romans for nearly 3 months. So we need lots of context. We can't go all the way back. But the immediate context of Romans 14 and 15 is this. We were told, owe no one what? Anything except to love one another. We believe that we are saved by grace through faith. We are made sanctified, perfect through faith. We get God's righteousness as a gift. We are a people of faith. We only experience righteousness and salvation through what? Through faith. But, and the only but is that when the people of faith come together, they begin to live by another operating word. And that word is what? That word is love. You go and prove to somebody that you're a person of great faith, that you love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and you love your neighbor as yourself. So owe no one anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law, completely fulfilled it. Love has no love for the neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Instead, We see that, we buy that. This is one way that we gratify the flesh. But notice there might be another way to gratify the flesh. And that's what? Quarreling and jealousy. Quarreling and jealousy over what? Everything that came before that. We'll begin to define what reveling really means. We'll begin to define for each other what debauchery really is, what repentance really is, good things and bad things. So in a way, he's saying that this is going to happen, but you're not to what? You're not to quarrel about it. You're not to argue about it, if you will. That's the immediate context of Romans 14. We're people of greater faith, because it's Jesus' faith that we have. We've been given a measure of faith. We're a people of great faith that believes that we're righteous because he decided to give it to us. What makes us righteous is that we believe that he said he gave it to us. And we live by love. And love is the only standard by which we treat each other. So he says, this is what brings us together. So this is the context. Let's say the church has already agreed on the first part. How many here have been pretty comfortable with their own definition of reveling in drunkenness and debauchery and licentiousness? How many here agree that these are things we probably should avoid? What is a trick question? Not a trick question at all. For the most part, we all agree on it. Is there anybody else who's on this line? If I do, am I still living by the love that I have? Actually, no. Because if you look at it, those are all inherently selfish. And when we live by love, we should be inherently what? Selfless. Okay. What about the second one? Quarrels and what? Jealousy. Quarrels and jealousy. How many here agree that we should be avoiding it? For all of us that think that we should be avoiding quarreling, how good are we at it? So this is the context of Romans 14:1. So like I said, I did want to have fun with this. Paul getting serious with her. He getting serious with her. Welcome to the world. We can say, but not for the purpose of quarreling over a minute. You see, we're taking immediate effort. The context in Romans 13 is immediate effort. Not for quarreling over what? Opinion. Not quarreling over sin, but quarreling over opinion of sin. It's a big difference. We're not supposed to be quarreling over our opinion of what debauchery and licentiousness and rebellion looks like. Rebellion. Rebellion. Everybody is wrong. People who are weak and people who are old. People who are strong. Everybody's broken, but not the way. Not the way. We're all welcome, but we're not arguing. Now, when I came about this again, I pulled out all my old studies and my notes, and I used to preach this and teach this by immediately asking the question, who is weak? Who is Paul referring to when he says he's weak? And then I would refer to the scripture reading that Herman gave us, but I'm really wondering if that's what I should be doing. I'm really wondering if we should be arguing over who is weak. It's hard to start an argument then. Because I bet you already have an opinion over who he's talking about is weak and who he's talking about is strong, don't you? Yeah. And we're probably looking at people of the other group, aren't we? Because he says basically there are only two. Some believe in eating anything, while the weak don't eat vegetables. Does he say that weak meat are vegetarian? No, what he said. We're talking about diet as a religious practice. Now, to a certain extent, we still live it by a religious practice, but actually we shouldn't. Don't you think God has a sense of humor that He put both of these groups together on purpose? together with thee. It doesn't matter how we're gratifying the flesh. We're still what? Gratifying the flesh. So really what he's saying, strong versus weak, doesn't matter. We're not supposed to be arguing over who's strong and who's weak. What he's saying is that we all belong. And actually, the next verse is actually what he's saying is, who do we think we are? Tell the truth. Who are you, not what? Judgment on the servants of another. It is before their own Lord that they stand or fall, and they will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make them stand. If we fall, the Lord picks us up and holds us up. If we never fall, he's the one holding us up in the first place. We're all being held up. He says, what in the world do you think you are? We're all servants of another. Remember, Russell put it this way. The preacher of Acts, Mark, full of servants of a mega master. And we've been sent to that mark. One for produce, because they are an expert at keeping our produce. Another for baked goods. And he said, how in the world can the one who was sent there to pick up baked goods tell the produce person how to pick up produce? Because we've all been gifted. We've all been gifted. If you want to use the analogy of the body that remembers one of another, that he uses as the human body, what does the eye know about any hand? What does the hand know about any eye? And my hand doesn't waste time all day trying to tell the eye how to do his job. It took me to the judge. You with me? So we stand and we fall. I really love this with the mentors. I really do. Because it almost seems like it's taking time. Some judge one what? One day, okay. So we just walk through the minefield of vegetarian and not vegetarian, and now we're landed on what? On days. Okay, days. Judge one day to be better than the other, while others judge all days to be alike. Let all be fully convinced in their what? In their own minds. If you think one day is as good as the other, then be convinced of it. Be convinced in your mind. But what about someone who judges? They're to be what? They're to be convinced. Those who observe the day of judgment in honor of the Lord, also those who eat in honor of the Lord, since they give thanks to God, while those who abstain in honor of the Lord and give thanks to God. You're waiting for me. I don't know what you're waiting for me to do. You're waiting for me to tell you that he's not talking about the Seventh-day Sabbath. But the fact that we have to talk about whether or not he's talking about the Seventh-day Sabbath and maybe somewhere or something or something else, what is that by nature? It's a quarrel. It's a quarrel. There are people. This is a church, like I said, this is a church brought together completely a Gentile converts and Jewish converts. You think the Sabbath has come up? How long was it, do you think the Sabbath, the way it was before they came up? I bet they weren't even such a faith that you have your own conviction before God. Blessed are those who have no reason to condemn themselves because of what they approve. But those who have doubts are condemned to the east because they do not act from faith. For whatever does not proceed from faith is what? It's sin. You know the verse, right? Whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. Okay? It is sin. Remember, Paul says that whatever you do to the glory of God. And remember the context of Romans. How does the righteous one live? By faith. How does one know that they are righteous? By faith. How does one know that they are saved and righteous? By faith. Not by what? Not by their words. Why is not works used as a standard of righteousness? Because there's a whole lot of people who can do the works and not be righteous. Right? There's a whole lot of people who can do the works and still treat people like garbage. The only thing that makes you protect or told today for living by faith is the fact that God told me. And if I believed, it would be righteous. And guess what? That's righteousness. So you remember the context, right? Remember the context. So I'm going to skip ahead just a little bit more too. Let me go. Did I not put 515? There we go. They jumped away in. So I jumped ahead to the title of the day. It says, I myself feel confident about you, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are full of what? Full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to instruct one another. Paul has all the confidence in the world. He's taking people of all these hysteric practices, brought them together. All these religious aesthetics, and Sadducees, and Jews, and entire practices. He's brought them all together with bitterness and Plato. He's brought them all completely together. And he says, I have 100% confidence in you that you are filled with what? That you are filled with goodness. Nevertheless, at some point, I've written to you rather boldly by way of reminder because of the grace given to me by whom? By God. Full of goodness and knowledge. He's written boldly. And he says, I can write boldly to you even though you are strong and you're right. You're weak. So you're strong, you don't think that the church member or to nurse and say, can you please come get this guy and get him away from us for a half hour? So she had to walk over there and take him out so these nurses could come and bring him. So it really doesn't matter, Jew or Gentile. We can be Christians to them all. To them both. To them both. We should care more about people. We should care about what makes them responsible. That's what he said. The faith that you have is your own conviction. Faith that you have out of your own conviction before that. What's it those who have no reason to defend themselves? If you have the faith to do it, don't do anything to defend yourself. Practice hard, get better at it. The problem is that we don't need to quarrel about it. Don't let anything defend them. Those who have doubts will defend if they need you, if they do not act in faith or whatever it is, whatever faith is not the key. So let's take this here. We who are strong are to put up with the failings of the one, of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Each of us must please our neighbor for the good purpose of building up the neighbor. Each should be for the purpose of building them up. For Christ is not to please himself, but then it is written, because the insult of those who insult you have fallen upon me. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness, by the encouragement of the scriptures, that we might have one, that we might have all. When we do open our mouths, it should be full of what? It should be full of hope. Hope in what we have. May the God of steadfastness, encouragement, grant you to live in harmony with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together we may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord. Lord Jesus Christ. We are never going to have one voice when it comes to our lifestyle. Three enemies, five enemies. Right? So that can't be what we're told. Faith in Jesus, hope in Jesus. That's what brings us together. That's when we open our mouths. Is that what you're saying? Our vision is this way. It matters your conscience, the soul must be left untrammeled. No one is in control of another's mind, to judge another, or to try his duty. God gives us every soul free to think and to follow his own conviction. Every one of us should give account of himself to God. No one has a right to merge his own individuality in that of another. In all matters where principle is involved, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Romans 14:12. In Christ,